All right, we're reading from Philippians 1, 1 to 11 today, so you can find that on page 1671 in the church Bibles if you want to follow along with me. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thanks, Claudia. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. Over the school holidays, looking at some of Paul's prayers. I love looking at Paul's prayers because they're great reminders of the gospel and how the gospel should shape our lives. So let's pray that as we get into it, it'd be really encouraging for us and would shape our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word. Thank you for the amazing gift that it is to us. Please help us to apply your word to our lives by your Spirit. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we haven't met or spent much time together, this is my family. As my wife Deb, my oldest son Henry, then Thomas, then Nessie, and then Nellie. Now, as a family, we don't take very good photos. All of my children have learnt to smile from me, and I just can't smile on cue. It's just not something I can do. If you can make me laugh, I'll smile, but I just can't do it with the camera in front of my face. I just can't do it. My wife can do it, though. She's good at many things. And there's an elder at 10:30 who constantly reminds me that I'm punching above my weight with my wife. Like, he reminds me so much so that I feel like I need to go see someone to feel reassured. I'm just joking. Kind of joking. Anyway, with all the quirks in my family, I do love them and I do want what's best for them. I want them to enjoy life. I want them to be successful. I want them to work hard. I want them to get married if that's what they want to do when they're older. I guess I'd like grandchildren at some point, but I'll be dictating the terms of when they're allowed to do that and not. Just, it's got to fit in with my schedule, of course. I do want what's best for my kids. But because I know that there's more to this life than what I can see, because I believe in the Lord Jesus, that he died and rose again and he's coming back again, how should that shape my hopes for my family and my children? How should that shape my prayers for my family and children? Well, today, as we dig into Philippians chapter 1, we're going to see that Paul has a deep relationship with the Philippians. They are partners in the gospel. And he shows us what he hopes for them. He shows us what he prays for them. He wants their love for God and their love for each other to keep growing so that they might know the best way, the most excellent way to live in every situation that they come across. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Philippians chapter 1. This afternoon, our first point is that Paul always prays with joy for the Philippians. Let's pick up from verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, they're servants of Christ. They're writing to God's people in Philippi. It's a pretty standard greeting. It's worthwhile knowing that Paul is probably writing this from prison in Rome, and he's there for following Jesus and speaking about Jesus. In Acts 16, you can find a bit about Paul and his relationship with the Philippian church. Philippi was a city that was mostly populated by soldiers. I'm not sure if you can imagine that or not. And it was like a mini little Rome. Paul was in prison for following Jesus, and the Philippians themselves were most likely experiencing some persecution too, some hardship for following Jesus. It was a tough situation to be in. But Paul, he's super thankful for the Philippians. Let's pick up again from verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul thanks God for the Philippians every time he thinks about them. But more than being thankful, he prays with joy. Even though he's in prison, he's praying with joy for the Philippians. Well, why is that the case? Well, he's joyful because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippians have been happy to support Paul's gospel mission work. They've helped him even when other churches couldn't. They've even sent a guy called Epaphroditus to care for Paul while he was in prison. The Philippians have deeply cared for Paul with their finances, with gifts, with people. And Paul is joyful. He's joyful because of this partnership. And this partnership, it actually makes Paul confident that God will keep working in the Philippians so that they make it home. Let's pick up again from verse 6. It says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Because of the partnership that Paul has with the Philippians, because the Philippians have been putting money towards his gospel mission, putting their money where their mouth is, because they've genuinely been supporting the gospel work, even when it came at a cost to them, it makes Paul confident that God really is in them and will keep working in them. Now, it may have been hard for the Philippians to keep going in their faith. Paul, their leader, was in prison. He was severely flogged right before their eyes in Philippi. Maybe they're enduring some persecution. Maybe they're just not sure if they're going to make it or not. But their partnership with Paul assures Paul they really are God's people. And Jesus said that those that the Father gave him, he would never lose. Paul is confident that God will keep working in the Philippians, that he'll keep shaping them to be more and more like Jesus. And verses 7 and 8, Paul sort of repeats the same thing. He says, it's right for me to feel this way because we're partners in the gospel, partners in God's grace. Paul is filled with joy because the Philippians are genuine gospel partners. Now, there's a missionary fella called Alan Canavan, who's a part of the 1030 congregation. He's the guy who constantly reminds me that I'm punching above my weight, if you want to take it up with him. It's actually Tim's dad, front the back. Anyway, he was a missionary over in PNG on the island of Tubi-Tubi with his wife Faye and three children. He was and is a translator, and he worked with different groups of translators and the local people as well. He's actually writing a book currently about funny stories from the mission field. So that will actually be a good book to read. I've heard some of those stories. I think it's funny, but it's kind of serious. But there's one time that this guy came to the island to try and get Alan. I think he wanted to try and put a spear in him or something. And they tried to hide and they hid in the house. And then Alan's friend, let's call him Fred, I think that's his actual name, just said, I'm over this, and went outside and just punched the guy in the head, knocked him out. And they took him to another island and buried him there. No, they didn't bury him. They just took him to another island and left him there. But that's a great story, right? You want to read about that in a missionary book. I would love, I'm going to read that book. Anyway, there's probably some details. That's like a movie where some of these details were based on facts, some weren't. Anyway, you have to work that out when you read the book. But when Alan talks about these people, when he talks about other translators and people on the island, he always talks about them as his people. He always talks about them with great joy because they were partners in the gospel. They loved and cared for each other. They supported each other. He really deeply cares about them. Well, Paul always talks about the Philippians with joy. He prays for them with joy. They're partners in the gospel, and it's a sign that God is at work within them. Well, there are many people here who are partners in the gospel at Willows. There are many people that Session and the staff here are super joyful about. There are many people who give towards the gospel. There are many people who love and care for others. There are many people who pray for others, who visit others. There are many people who serve in so many ways, from cleaning the toilets to mowing the lawns to doing data to whatever. There are so many different ways that people serve. There are lots of partners in the gospel here at Willows. And if you're a partner in the gospel here, you should feel encouraged. It's a great sign that God is at work within you. It's a great sign that God will continue to work in you. That's a beautiful thing. If you're a partner in the gospel here, please be encouraged. No matter what you might be going through, no matter how tough it might be, no matter how hopeless it might feel or how dry you might feel, know that God is working in you. Just keep going, one step after the other. Although, if you don't feel like a partner in the gospel here at Willows, if you're not contributing or serving in any way, shape or form, if church is basically a place where you come to be served and then leave as quickly as possible after the service, that's actually not something to be joyful about. That shouldn't give you confidence that you're one of God's people. It should actually make you concerned and make you want to stop and reflect. Maybe pray that God would help you to get the gospel and to want to live it out. Well, Paul always prays with joy for the Philippians because they're partners in the gospel, and he goes on to pray that their love would grow more and more. Let's pick up again from verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I reckon this is an amazing prayer, and as I've been kind of reflecting on it and thinking about it during the week, it kind of does my head in a little bit. Paul wants the Philippians, he wants their love to grow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He wants the Philippians to know God more, to know how amazing he is, to know how loving he is, to know how caring he is, to know how gracious he is, to know how patient he is. He wants them to be deeply in love with God. But he also wants them to grow in their love for one another. He wants them to know the best way to love each other. He wants them to have a depth of insight. And this is why. It says this from verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul wants the Philippians' love for God to grow more and more. He wants them to grow in their love for each other more and more, so that in every decision, in every part of their life, even in the little stuff, they might know the best way to live, the most excellent way to live in every situation. And it's not coming from knowing the rules better. It's not coming from trying harder or trying to win God's approval or someone else's approval. It comes from knowing God better, loving him more and more, and loving each other better, that they might live in a way that pleases God in light of Jesus' return. If I want to love my wife better, I need to spend time with her. I need to know what she likes and dislikes. We need to talk together. I need to know her concerns. I need to know her fears. I need to know what brings her joy. I need to know lots about her so that in every situation I can know the best way to love and care for her. And I do know lots about her, but I still struggle sometimes, particularly with the cleaning aspect of things. It does bring her joy. But not only do I need to know more her more, I need to know God's love more so that I can lay down my life for her, like Jesus laid down his life for me as he died on the cross to pay for my sin. Well, Paul is essentially praying that the Philippians would grow more and more in their love for God and their love for each other so that they might be excellent at living God's way, that they might know the best way to live in every situation, that they might know how to love and care for each other. This is an amazing prayer. And it's a prayer that I think that we should pray for each other and for ourselves. But if we're going to pray a prayer like this for ourselves, we should be thinking about how we can grow in our love for God, how we can grow in our knowledge of God's love, how we can grow in our depth of insight, how we can see like God sees. And you have to say, in order to get to know God better, you need to invest in reading the Bible. That's how God speaks to us, isn't it? That's how we know God. Well, how is your Bible reading going at the moment? When was the last time you read a Christian book? When was the last time you listened to a Christian talk or a podcast? When was the last time you listened to some Christian music? When was the last time you went to a Christian event designed to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus? There's so much out there to help us to know God better. We should be praying for each other that we would get into those things so that we do grow in our love for God. But not only should we be thinking how we can grow in our love for God, we should be thinking about how we can grow in our love for one another. And the way to grow in our love for one another is to actually spend time together, to prioritise being at church here regularly each week, and to actually hang around afterwards and have conversations, build relationships, encourage each other. We should also try to invest in each other's lives during the week as well. And Bible study is a great place to do that, but it's not the only place. There's lots of ways to invest in each other's lives during the week. If we grow in our love for God, and if we grow in our love for each other, we'll know the best way to live and act in every situation. I really love Paul's prayer here, and I need to keep thinking about how I can pray this for myself, but how I can pray this prayer for my family, my church, and my friends. It's a great thing to pray for those around me. I really want my kids to have a great life, to have lots of great moments, to have lots of great memories, to be content, to be successful, to work hard. And while those things might be good, a better hope, a better prayer for my family and for my children is to pray that their love for God and their love for each other and their church family would grow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that they might know the best way to live, the most excellent way to live in every situation that they face, while they wait for the Lord Jesus to return. That's a great prayer to pray. Let's pray that prayer right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the amazing gift it is to us. Father, thank you for your Son who died on the cross and rose again. Father, we pray that you'd help us. Help us to grow in our love for you and to grow in our love for one another, so that we might know the best way to live, the most excellent way to live in every situation that we come across as we wait for your Son Jesus to return. Father, please work in us by your Spirit that we might be the people that you want us to be. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.